Discovering in a series of messages how to put away anger. And we've been learning then from Ephesians 4, based on Ephesians 4, that there are some things in our lives since our conversion that need to be put away. And there are some things that need to be put away or put off, and there are some things that need to be put on. And one of the things that needs to be put away or put off is anger, described in Ephesians 4, 26, where the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath." We've been discovering that there is anger that we experience, in, which is a common experience in among us as human beings. But oftentimes, anger that we experience, unlike God, is not a righteous anger, but it's an anger that leads to sin. And that's the reason why the apostle says to be angry and sin not. That is, not to allow anger to dominate our life to the point that it drives us to sin. But instead, that we're to deal with it as something that we need to be putting away, like he said in the previous verse, to put away lying. This is also one of those things that needs to be put away in our life that has to be dealt with. When anger rises on the inside of us, it demands to be expressed. And sometimes it's expressed in our countenance. We look angry. Sometimes in our conversation, we speak angry words. And sometimes in our conduct, and that is, we act out in angry kinds of ways, in various ways, motivated by anger. And it leads to sin in our life. And for that reason, anger needs to be dealt with. And we've discovered that anger is one of those things that needs to be dealt with as quickly as possible. That's the reason why that the writer tells us, Paul tells us here, that we need to let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The idea, the principle, is to deal with anger as fast as possible, as quickly as we can to deal with it. And that's what we've been trying to discover, and that is how to put away anger, how to deal with anger in our lives so that it doesn't lead to sin that we regret and have to reap the consequences of in our life. And we've looked at what I call the revelations about anger. We spent some time just looking at what God reveals in His Word about anger. Some of the statements in Scripture that revealed to us a lot of truth about anger. And then also some of the stories in Scripture of people who became very angry and what it led to, the destruction that it led to, the distraction that it led to. That is, you and I spend some time just looking at the kind of disobedience and distress that anger actually turned in on those who had the experience of anger. That is, eventually, having not dealt with it, it turned in on many of them so that they became distressed and depressed and wanted God to take them home prematurely. So we spent some time looking at the revelation about anger, what the Bible reveals about anger. We also explored the roots of anger. And we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that our experience with anger that leads to sin is rooted down much deeper than what we realize. And that is, it's not just the chemicals within us. It's not just the circumstances around us. It's not just the choices by us. But we discovered that it is rooted in the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is, that anger that leads to sin is rooted in the world that we live in, a world that is corrupt with sin, a world, ladies and gentlemen, that is ripe for the experience of anger. We've discovered there's this fallen aspect of our nature, a sinful nature within us, our flesh, that we also have to learn how to deal with as well. And then we discovered, of course, there's the devil. And that is, the devil uses anger to find an inroad into our life. That's the reason why the next verse, after Paul writes, "Be angry and sin not, let the sun go down on your wrath," the next verse says, "Neither give place to the devil." And the reason why is because that's the one of the ways the devil operates, and that is, he operates through anger to make be able to invade our lives and to bring destruction into our lives. That is, to destroy homes and destroy churches devour lives. And that is, the devil uses anger as an inroad. That is, when you get anger, when you follow the roots of anger all the way down, you'll find that the devil is right there as well, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we've been looking in the last few services at what I call a remedy for anger. What is the answer or the remedy? The problem of anger in our lives. We need to try to find out what that is. And that is, the question is there even a remedy? Is there a remedy for the problem of anger that leads to sin? And you and I have discovered that there is indeed a remedy, and His name is Jesus. And I know that sounds really simplistic, as I've said in previous messages, and again, I'm not trying to minimize all of the struggles and problems that lead to anger, the experience of anger in our lives, but the answer is still the same, and that is, the only one who has overcome the world is Jesus. The only one who's ever, ladies and gentlemen, lived in this flesh without sinning is our Lord Himself. And the only one who destroyed the works of the devil is our Lord Jesus, who came and destroyed Him by His life and His death and His resurrection. And so if that's where anger comes out of, then the only answer to the problem, the only remedy to anger, is none other than our Lord Himself. Somebody said, as I've mentioned before, then why do I still struggle with anger? And that is, if I know the Lord and I've received Christ into my life, He's Lord of my life, then why do I still struggle with anger? The reason why is because while the remedy is available to us, it has to be appropriated by us. And that is it. Even though Christ is Lord of your life and you have the remedy, then if you have Jesus, you've got to understand and appropriate who Christ is in these areas of our life. There's some things we got to know about Him that we have to understand about who Christ is in our life and appropriate that to our life if we're going to be able to get victory and deal with and put away the anger that we are struggling with. And it's just like, again, taking your medicine, and that is, the doctor may give you the medicine to fix the problem that you have, but you got to take it. You can't just set it on the counter and look at it. You have to appropriate it into your system in order to be able to get the benefits of it. Even so, if you're saved, Christ is Lord of your life, there's some things you have to understand and appropriate. We've been discovering what they are. Number one is the position of the saints. And that you've got to understand who you are in Christ, that you have been repositioned. That is, you're no longer in Adam, but now you're in Christ. And in Christ, the old man is dead and you've been raised a brand new creature. You are a brand new creature in Christ. Hey, the Bible says that old things have passed away and all things have become new. And so for that reason, because of that, there are just some things from the old, that is from the past, you've got to put away. Like somebody who's died and you start putting away their stuff. Even so it is, and that is, there's an old part of you that died in Christ. You're raised a new person. Put away the old and put on the new. And right at the head of the list, Colossians 3, of things that we need to put away is anger. You got to understand your position in Christ as a saint of God. Now listen, this is true of all the areas of your life. If you want to walk in victory, you've got to begin learning and understanding and appropriating who you are in Christ, your new position in Him. I also spent some time talking about the peace of the Son. That is, we looked in Colossians 3 and verse number 15, and we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I that we can allow God's peace to rule in our hearts. Those of you that are saved, listen, you've entered into a relationship of peace, and we learned how to allow the peace of the Son, the peace of Christ, to dominate our lives on the inside. And listen to me now, if His peace is dominating you on the inside, then anger will not. There's the peace of the Son. I also preached to you a little bit about the power of the Spirit. We discovered in Ephesians 4 and verse number 30, the Bible says not to grieve. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And also in the same book, Ephesians, the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit, but allow the Spirit of God to fill or dominate or control your life. Now listen, when the Spirit of God is dominating and controlling your life, you can go ahead and mark it down. Anger that leads to sin cannot dominate and control your life when the Spirit of God is dominating and controlling your life. The answer, the remedy for the problem of anger, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed the power of the Holy Spirit dominating your life. Now, you and I've got to learn more about that, and that is how to yield ourselves, surrender ourselves, how to be filled or controlled or dominated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I spent some time trying to preach to you about that in previous messages. So this past Wednesday night, we began looking at another remedy for the problem of anger, and that is simply the promises of the Scripture. We discovered this in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Let me just remind you of what that verse says. In Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace, that is with grace in your hearts, in your inner man, to the Lord. Paul has been writing to the Colossians about getting victory over the corruption that has characterized their lives before they got saved. And one of the things that he wrote about was anger. In verse number 8, that is, he told them that they need to put off all of these things and gave them a list. And at the head of that list is indeed anger. Putting off the old and putting on the new. And then we have to ask the question, how do we do that? And one of the things that he tells us in verse number 16 about how to do that, how to put off the old and put on the new, if you follow his logic, is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, let the word of God dominate your life from the inside out. That is, not only should the peace of God, verse 15, rule in your hearts, but the word of God should also dwell on the inside of you richly. And that's one of the answers, ladies and gentlemen, to being able to get a victory over the areas of our life that are connected to the old so that we can experience the new, one of which is indeed, as I've already mentioned, it is anger. The Spirit of God can dominate you on the inside. The peace of God can dominate you on the inside. And now we're finding out the Word of God can dominate you on the inside instead of anger. Let me just remind you that when you got saved, you received the Word of God at your conversion. Listen, if you've truly been born again, then that means that at your conversion, God the Holy Spirit brought you to the end of yourself, brought you to a point of brokenness over your sin, and brought you to the point of believing or receiving what the Bible reveals about what Jesus did for you when He died for you on the cross and was raised the third day. You receive the Word of God at your conversion. You and I remain in the Word through our church, and that is through church ministries. That is, the Bible says here in Colossians 3:16, how we remain in the Word is by teaching and admonishing one another. That is, we gather together, and those who have been gifted to teach, they teach us the Word of God, admonish us through the Word of God so that we can keep on growing in the Word. We remain in the Word through our church. And then we rejoice in the Word because of Christ. The Bible says here in verse number 16, it says that we are to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So when you get full of the Word of God, listen to me now, you'll begin to rejoice and singing the Word. That's what we do when we sing. We try to sing songs that reflect what the Word of God says, and you probably, hopefully, listen to songs that sing that reflect what the Word of God says. But I want you to notice here what the Bible says about the richness of the Word. When the Bible says here, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That little word richly means an abundance. It means an overflow. We think of it, don't we? And that is, when you eat something really sweet this week, and you might say something, that's really rich. And what you mean is, man, that thing's got a lot of sugar in it, a lot of stuff in it, when you say that. And I mean, not have just a little bit, it's got a lot. When you say this about a person, when you say that that person is really rich, what you mean is they have an abundance of material possessions. They've got a lot of money and they've got a lot of material possessions. They are really, really rich. And listen, that's what the Word is saying here. And that is that you and I let the Word of God dwell in us richly. That is, in abundance. That is more than normal. That is overflowing. That is filled up with the Word of God. And listen to me now, that is the key. The Word of God dwelling in you richly, that is in abundance, overflowing with the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the answers, that's the remedy for the problem of anger. Listen, anger is not going to be able to fill and dominate you on the inside very long at all if the Word of God is dominating you on the inside. If the Word of God is dwelling in you richly, listen to me now, that is the answer, the remedy to keep anger from dominating or controlling your inner person. That is, you and I taking a preemptive strike against anger, controlling us on the inside by allowing the Word of God to dominate our life. Now, we do that in a lot of ways, and that is by reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, and studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, and I preached about many of those things this past Wednesday night. There's so many. Listen, the Word of God filling you on the inside will be able to help you overcome the problem of anger. And so we need to appropriate the promises of the Scripture. When you get to reading the Word of God, it's not a matter, ladies and gentlemen, of just reading to be reading, but reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God to understand it. When you pick up the Bible and read it, you ought to read it for the purpose of trying to understand what you're reading. And listen, when you come to church and you hear somebody teach in a Bible study or preach in the church service, you ought to come for the purpose of not just enduring the service or getting through the Bible study just to say, I was there, and so nobody will bug you and call you and say, why wasn't you there? But listen, you and I ought to be there so we can hear and understand and learn. I want to understand what is being said. And the reason why is because there are many, many promises in the Bible. in the Word of God that is the answer to the problem that we have with anger. The remedy for anger is found in the promises of the Scripture. If you allow the Word of God to fill you and dominate and dwell in you richly, then you'll be able to get a handle on some of these promises that will help you deal with what are some of the root causes and the problems that we have with anger that leads to sin. Let me just say one of the promises, that is, when it comes to the promises of Scripture, one of the promises that you and I have in the Bible is the promise of Christ's presence. The promise of His presence. Some of you remember when our Lord spoke to His disciples and after His resurrection and gave them what we call the Great Commission. And that is that He gave them their marching orders and told them exactly what it is they're supposed to be doing now that He's died on the cross, He's raised, and He's getting ready to ascend back to the Father. And in Matthew 28, in Matthew's version of the Great Commission, here's what He said. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." In other words, Jesus said, listen, that is, by my authority, I'm sending you, based on my authority, I'm sending you to all the nations, and I want you to teach them, that is, to teach them the gospel. And listen, those who believe are to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then at the end, He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. That is, from every generation, I'm going to be with my people. I'm going to be with you. We have here, ladies and gentlemen, not only the commission or the marching orders of what it is that we're to be doing in life, that is sharing the gospel with the people around us and reaching the nations, as we've heard about in the video earlier, reaching the nations with the gospel, but also we also have here a promise of His presence. And that is, I am with you always. And I'm glad that it's not just the disciples that He's with. It's not just these apostles. But He said, all the way to the end of the world or the end of the age, I am with you. And listen, that includes you and me. He's with us. Now listen, if you'll get a hold of this, that is, if you'll understand this, what the Word of God says about the promise of His presence and sort of appropriating it to your life, it's going to help you with the problem of anger. And that is that He's with me. That is, the One, the divine Word that spoke and the world came into existence is with me. Now listen, that'll help you if you'll let it, if you'll appropriate that truth to your life. When Jesus spoke to His disciples in the upper room, that is, before He went to the cross, He spoke these words in John chapter 14 and verse number 16. He said, I'm going to pray the Father, and He's going to give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Jesus said, I'm going to pray, I'm getting ready to go away, but I'm going to pray, and the Father is going to give you another comforter or helper, that is, somebody who's going to be with you in life, present with you. The word comforter is somebody who comes alongside, is present with us to help us. And He said, I'm going to pray to the Father, He's going to give you another comforter, one just like me is the implication, and He's going to abide with you, listen to this, forever. You say, well, who is this comforter? Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth He not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, Jesus said. How's Jesus going to come to them, ladies and gentlemen? Well, obviously, He's going to appear to them after the resurrection. That's one way. But He's also telling them that He's going to send His Spirit to actually live on the inside of them. So that we not only have the Son of God who have walked here in a bodily form, but now we have the Spirit of Christ who is present among us, actually living on the inside of the redeemed. He's not just around us, He's actually living on the inside of those who are saved. So that our Lord is right here with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, present in your life. If you're saved, listen to me now, you have the promise of His presence in your life. Now listen, because of the promise of the presence of Christ, you don't have to live a life filled with anger. You don't have to. You don't have to live a life filled with anger in the midst of problems. And the reason why is because He's there. He's with us. I remember reading in John chapter number 11 about the problems that came to this little town of Bethany. And that is, there's a family there that loves our Lord. And it's Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And the Bible tells us that this friend named Lazarus became sick, and after he became sick, Mary and Martha sent word to our Lord. They thought he was getting better, but he wasn't. As a matter of fact, he just got sicker and sicker, and no doubt he went to the doctor, but the doctors couldn't help him, and he just kept getting sicker. And finally, they sent a messenger to find the Lord and to tell him that your friend Lazarus is sick. And they expected the Lord to come immediately and make his way to the little town of Bethany and to heal him as he had healed so many of the sickness. But Jesus didn't come. The hours passed by quickly and days passed by, and finally Lazarus succumbed to the sickness and he died. And no doubt those ladies are disappointed. You can imagine the disappointment must have filled their hearts. And then after he had been dead for 4 days, listen, he was buried in a tomb. Jesus finally showed up in the little town of Bethany. And they were grieving on the inside. And you can hear just a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear just a little bit of anger in their voices if you listen closely. At least disappointment. At least a little bit of hurt. Bordering on anger when Jesus finally showed up, and the Bible tells us that Martha ran out to meet him and she fell down weeping and mourning and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, if you'd have just showed up, if you'd have just been here, my brother would not have died. The implication is you should have gotten here earlier. When he was sick and you could have healed him and he would not have died. No doubt there's some anger bubbling up in the heart of Martha, and Mary repeats the same words when she also comes to where our Lord is. That is, sometimes when you and I are going through the troubles of life, the problems of life, sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of grieving and may not be grieving the loss of a loved one. It may be grieving the loss of a relationship. It may be grieving the difficult financial burden you're going through. It may be the loss of health. It might be any number of circumstances or problems that come into our life. We find ourselves in the middle of problems. In those kind of situations, anger creeps into our soul. And you and I find ourselves disappointed, frustrated, and even angry. No doubt that's where these sisters are at. In the middle of this struggle they're going through, then all of a sudden, the Lord shows up. And listen, it is His presence that made all the difference in the world. He made them a wonderful promise. Jesus said to Martha, Martha, guess what? Your brother is going to rise again. He's going to rise again. And she said, well, I know he's going to be resurrected the last day. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm paraphrasing. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And this woman, listen, Martha, she said, Lord, I do. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. And ladies and gentlemen, this woman walked away with faith in her heart, trusting in the promise of God. And that was the answer for her. In the middle of that struggle, in the middle of that battle, and it's our answer as well. It's our Lord, it's just His presence among us. And then, of course, we know that He went out to the graveside and He raised Lazarus from the dead. And listen, these sisters that were full of frustration and disappointment and anger are now rejoicing. And the reason why they're rejoicing is because of the presence of our Lord. Now, I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that in the middle of our problems, the Lord's presence is what makes the difference in us as well. Instead of allowing our problems to lead to anger, they can drive us to Him. And listen, when you and I bow before Him and yield ourselves to Him and get in His presence, yes, by faith, but get in the presence of God, we can experience what we need to be able to overcome anger, ladies and gentlemen, and to be full of peace on the inside. Sure can. Oh, don't you remember the words of the psalmist? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The reason why? Thou art with me. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, we have the promise of our Lord's presence. He's with us so that we don't have to become angry in the middle of our problems because of His presence. Not only that, but we don't have to become angry in the midst of persecution. I stand amazed at the apostles of our Lord in the book of Acts as they are being persecuted by the Jewish leaders of that day. And that is, they get arrested and thrown into jail. They, ladies and gentlemen, get beaten and thrown into jail the second time. And one of them, James, one of the sons of Zebedee, John's brother, is executed by Herod. And Paul and Silas, and on the second missionary journey, are thrown into prison in Philippi. They're beaten. Paul is stoned nearly to death. I'm amazed at the persecution that they went through. And I'm trying to figure out what it is that kept them going, what kept them motivated, and what kept them singing, and what kept them rejoicing, what it is that kept them from becoming so angry in the middle of unjust treatment. You see, our world is geared so that when you and I are treated unjustly, our response is to become angry. But they didn't. We don't see them full of anger. Instead, we see them, ladies and gentlemen, continuing on sharing the gospel. We read about Paul and Silas when they're in that prison, having been beaten and chained down in the Philippian jail in Acts chapter number 16. We read about them, ladies and gentlemen, singing and praying and worshiping down there in the middle of the jail. What was it that kept them from being driven to anger and despair? The Bible may give us a hint in Acts chapter number 4. Listen to what it says in verse number 13. In Acts chapter number 4, the Bible says that after Peter and John has been arrested and after they've stood before the Jewish Sanhedrin council, after they've been examined and stood boldly for the gospel, the Bible says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. These were not highly trained Jewish leaders, but ladies and gentlemen, they were simply fishermen. Says they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, that's the difference. The reason why Peter and John, unlearned men, that is simple fishermen, ladies and gentlemen, standing in the presence of elite Jewish leaders, the reason why that they were able to, without becoming angry at the persecution and the arrest of the experience, continue to press on with the gospel is because of the presence of Christ who was with them. He was with them. You and I have the same promise of His presence. Lo, I'm with you. Always, I'm with you. Listen, He's with us in the middle of problems, and He's with us in the middle of persecution, and He's also with us in the middle of poverty. And that is when times of poverty and financial strain come into our lives, it'd be easy for us to become angry. You might look at someone who's doing really well and you see the struggle that you're going through and the disappointment and the frustration comes and you wonder, how am I going to make it through? And anger, it's a time when we're vulnerable to becoming angry. That is not only times of problems and persecution, but in poverty, it's easy for anger to creep in. And yet it's the promise of His presence, ladies and gentlemen, found in the Word of God that helps us to overcome that temptation. In Hebrews 13, verse number 5, here's what it says. Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness, without greed, and be content with such things as you have. Don't be full of greed, that is, desiring after what it is that you don't have and cannot have, and just be content or satisfied with the things that you do have. And here's the key to that. Are you ready? Listen, instead of becoming angry about what I don't have, just being happy about what I do have. I better say that again. Instead of being angry about what I don't have, being happy about what I do have. Here's the key, verse number 5. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man can do to me. The reason why that I can be content and you can be content, happy with what we have and not angry about what we don't have, the reason why is because He is with us and He is not going to forsake us. It's because of the promise of His presence. I wish you could go down there to Bethlehem with me and just visit with the shepherds. As they gathered in, they are searching, try to find the little manger with the baby in it. And there's the angels have showed up and revealed to them that in Bethlehem, there's a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. But it's not an ordinary baby. It's the promised Messiah. It is the Christ. It's the Son of God lying there in that. And go and find him. So they leave the sheep behind and they rush into this little town of Bethlehem. And they're looking around in all the little stables, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, they find one where there's a brand new baby that has been born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a feeding trough. It's probably the only one there is. And they're bowing down, they're worshiping our Lord. And right there beside the manger is a man named Joseph. Listen, the man beside the manger. I wish that one of the shepherds would have just asked him, Joseph, tell us what it is that happened. And Joseph probably would say something like this. Well, I mean, Mary and I were espoused. We were getting ready to, you know, get married. We were close to consummating our marriage. And all of a sudden, I find out that she is pregnant. I can't believe it. Well, listen, our parents had committed us to one another many years ago, and all these years we've been building this relationship and preparing for marriage, and I thought that we really did have everything. Everything was good, and I thought we were going to get married and have a family, and everything was going to go well, and there weren't going to be any problems. I loved her so very much, and I was convinced that she loved me as well. Now I'm reading between the lines just a little bit, but she found out that she was pregnant. They had not been together in their relationship. There was no sexual intimacy between them. She was still a virgin. He'd never been with her. And so he assumed now that she has been unfaithful to him. And the Bible says it is getting ready to divorce her. And that is that this engagement period that they are in, ladies and gentlemen, is not like the engagement period that we have in our day. And that is the only thing that connects most people in the engagement period of our day is just the rings that they exchange. But in this day, there was a legal binding commitment that was made between parents whenever a couple got engaged. And so in order to break that off, it would take like we would call today a divorce. It would take a legal action to be able to do that. And that's what Joseph is getting ready to do. He's getting ready to divorce her because she's been unfaithful to him. Now listen, if there's one thing that will make a man angry, it would be that. I cannot help but believe that this man, even though he's a just man and he is a compassionate man, he has got to be deeply hurt on the inside. Disappointed, frustrated, and even angry on the inside. And now here he is beside the manger with Mary and the baby that's not his. I wish you and I could take a moment just say, how did this happen? I mean, how'd you get to this point? If you look at him closely, and I'm reading between the lines, you can see the tears running down his face as he holds the baby in his arms. You can tell that he loves the baby. You can tell he loves Mary. How did you get to the point from all that hurt, frustration, and anger to being full of such peace and love? As a matter of fact, it won't be long after that that he'll take them down into Egypt to protect them from Herod, who tries to kill our Lord. This man loved them and protected them and provided for them. How'd you get to that point? He would probably tell us the story that's recorded for us in Matthew 1. You might remember it well, and that is while he's preparing to divorce Mary, while he's thinking about all these things, while the disappointment and the frustration and the anger is building on the inside of him, the Bible says the angel of the Lord showed up in his room one day. It said, Joseph, Son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That is, don't divorce her. Go ahead and marry her. Go ahead and marry Mary. And that is, she is pregnant, but it's not because she's been unfaithful. It's because, ladies and gentlemen, because that which is conceived in her is miraculously, supernaturally conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she's going to bring forth the Son, and you're going to name him Jesus, and he'll save these people from their sin. Go ahead, it's going to be all right. The Word of God came to him, ladies and gentlemen. And the Word of God made all the difference in the world. The Bible says in the next verses, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, that is, the prophets said this, and that is Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. In other words, the one who is conceived in her, hey, Joseph, guess who he is? He is Emmanuel, and that is God from heaven is about ready to show up. And listen, he's been conceived in the womb of Mary and is growing on the inside of her, is going to be born by her. That is, God is right. Listen, the little baby in her womb, it's the presence of God. It's the presence of Christ inside of her womb. And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that made all the difference in the world. Just the promise from heaven that the one conceived is the Christ, and he's present with you. Now listen, it's the same with us. The key to victory over anger, the remedy for the problem of anger, ladies and gentlemen, is Emmanuel. Is God with us? The promise of his presence in your life. Can turn you from anger to peace, to rejoicing. It did in Joseph's life. His presence. And you say, Pastor, I wish somehow God would reveal that to me. What I'm trying to say to you is he already has. It's in the Scripture. If you're saved, you already have his presence in your life. If you'll start believing the Word of God and appropriating it to your life, then you'll find out that that promise from the Scriptures really is the remedy for the struggle with anger. It's God with us. It's him living on the inside of us. His powerful presence transforming us from the inside out. You don't have to live a life controlled by anger. And the reason why is because a little baby was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, wrapped in those swaddling clothes. He's with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us. God, I pray, Father, that you would operate upon our hearts today. God, I pray for those who are lost, who've never been born again, that you draw them to yourself and save them by your grace. But God, I pray for your people, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd operate upon our hearts. God, I pray that you teach us your word, the promises of the Scripture. God, just the promise of your presence. God, that you truly are with us. For that reason, Father, we can live in victory, Father, that we can be full of peace and we don't have to be controlled and dominated by anger. Father, would you bless everyone here? Would you help us as we try to surrender our hurts, our frustrations to you, knowing that you're right here to help us, to walk through the valleys with us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.